You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 72. Stay tuned. Welcome to Beyond the High Road. Hi, you guys. This ants in my pants right now. I'm a little wiggly. So, had an interesting chain of events, I guess you could call them, ever since recording last week's episode. If you guys remember, if you listened, it was all about acceptance versus giving in. The very moment that I was recording that episode, my ex just so happened to be sending an email in response to the story that I was telling you last week. In that email, he had said that basically, here, I'll just nearly 17 years old. She's been doing these Zoom calls for a long period of time and has decided that she doesn't want to do them anymore. She has known since the age of 12 that she can go in front of a judge and make it known how she feels about her custody arrangement and how she feels about the quality of her relationship with her mother, as she hasn't been alone with her or in her care since she was 6 or 7 years old. She lived with me till she was 9. Like a week after her 9th birthday. So I'm not sure what that's about, but I have done all I can as her father to support our daughter, I won't say her name, in every way possible to have a relationship with Shelby and keep the lines of communication open, even after Shelby chose to move to Florida several years ago. Our daughter has always and is still free to do these Zoom calls, but she comes away from them unhappy, detached, and annoyed. She says they're awkward and uncomfortable for her. I'll just go down. He's throwing out accusations about the way that I speak to her while we're on the calls, that I admonish her, demand that she shuts the door, respect her privacy, very uncomfortable. Anyway, so just all of these things, right? And then at this point, I just don't think she feels a connection with her or likes the way Shelby talks to her. I don't know what else to say. I'm hoping when she's 18 and an adult, Shelby can attempt to repair this relationship with her without a third party, but that will be ultimately up to the two of them. So, in a nutshell, my daughter's father ended all future communication between my daughter and me. She is 16. She'll be 17 on June 1st. And so, as you can imagine, my world shifted quite a bit that day. What's weird is that I had this uneasy feeling on, and I don't know, who knows, right? If that was just general anxiety or if that was really an energy that was real, and which I want to lean to that because it literally was happening at the same time. And I had that feeling pretty much all day Tuesday before I even saw this email, this thread between the supervisor and my ex. And so thank God for the supervisor, because we have a working relationship and she understands what's going on. And so here I am broadcasting it to the world, but I think she has understood and feels for the situation and knows what the fuck is up, right? What's going on? Needless to say, I was devastated. And I did. If you follow me on TikTok, I put a video out there about it. It was like a real in the moment reaction to what was going on. And I was definitely upset, shaking still, heartbroken. There was like this low hum throughout my body. It's heartbreaking. You know, the last two Zoom calls we did have were, we had so much fun on them, her and I. We had a great time. But then they stopped. And I was a little bit in shock, even though I anticipated it coming up. You know what I'm saying? I think we have different parts of our body. We've got the stress response system and then all of the thoughts coming from different parts of the brain that are having to come together, piece together what the current situation is. I notice it a lot in parents just after there's a switch in custody order where you expect to drive your kid to school or pick them up, or you expect to have them home more than they are. And so your brain is still encoded with that routine. And so it takes a while for the catch up to happen, to realize. And so there's a lot of resistance. So I was, of course, super upset last week. And I allowed myself a couple days to just feel it, you know? Reading that same email, even 2 years ago, I would have been silently imploding. I would have tried to scan the email, look for the pertinent points to see like what the basic gist of it is to save myself the pain, and then would have ruminated over those points. And I would have been so worked up. I would have seen the insults and the accusations that he was passive aggressively throwing out there. I would have been in my brain working like overtime to try to like flash, like put reference to and defend myself against whatever outrageous claims he was making against me. Just in the quiet and privacy of my own home, I would have been going working overtime to come up with evidence to support the opposite of whatever his claims were. And then I would have ruminated about those things that he was saying and about my defenses. I would have gone over and over, and he said this about me and he said that. And how could that even be? Because blah, 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 blah. Like the same thing with like that 6 or 7 years old. I would have gone, how could he say that? She was there till her 9th birthday and blah. I would have found all of these counter arguments. I would have felt backed into a corner. I would have felt like all the labels that he threw at me were like set in stone, that those were defining, that I had to somehow fight my way out of these labels that he threw out in an email, a haphazardly written email. And also, I never, ever in a million years would have talked about it to anybody. I would have read what I read, right? Skimmed and found the bottom line, and I wouldn't have spoken about it to a soul. Because I felt like back then, if I talk about this, then I'm going to give energy to it. And if I give energy to it, then it makes it more real. And so I would have kept it to myself, tucked it like way deep down inside, and oscillated between berating him from afar, right, in my brain, and shaming myself for not knowing better, for getting myself in the position to begin with, and all of that. I would have gone back and forth between those things for months, maybe years on end. I would have allowed it to affect the way I showed up in my everyday world. I would have drank myself into oblivion and found any excuse I could to numb myself away from it. It would have really gotten me down. I think I've made my point there. But the point is, I would have kept it all to myself. I never would have shared anything, especially not broadcast in a TikTok post, real-time reaction like I did. And I definitely wouldn't be sharing it in a podcast like I'm doing right now. Never would I have ever dreamed of broadcasting my dirty laundry, so to speak, to every corner of the earth for all the humans to judge. And so what's the difference here? What's the difference between before and today? I was asking myself this question. I was like, what has changed to make me be okay with that? Why was it my first reaction was to actually sit in front of my laptop and pull out my notes and write a very long letter that I would never send to my daughter talking about all my feelings, right? I needed to get that out of my brain. So that was the first thing I did, was to write it all out. My second reaction was to pick up my phone and make a post and share this with, I decided to share it on TikTok in hopes that it would reach other parents who were going through this. And now here I am recording this episode for you guys. It could be very easy for me to take the stance of, I don't want to show my true mother-daughter relationship status to those who are listening, my listeners, because they could listen to this and think, oh, well, see, she's not making any strides. She's doing all of this inner work, but she's not repairing her relationship with her daughter. So we don't want to follow that. People could actually take that stance, and that's okay. I've decided a while ago, that's okay. I'm not going to be for everybody. Not everybody's going to like me. I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm sure that not everybody is going to like me. But that doesn't mean that what I have to share isn't valuable. And so that's what I think the difference is between then and now. It's like I think I'm so clear on my mission and my why that the other stuff doesn't bother me. Like, everybody fears being judged, but I don't, that doesn't drive me anymore. And it doesn't pull me off my path, where before I would have been horrified. I would have shuddered at the thought of putting myself out there, getting vulnerable with whoever happened to scroll by my Instagram reel or TikTok and see this mom that must have done something wrong to be in this position where her daughter doesn't want to have a relationship with her anymore. You know what I'm saying? And so today, I'm 100% willing to sacrifice and to chance that there are going to be people that think that. There are going to be people that judge. There are going to be people that I am not for, right? I am not their cup of tea. That is okay, because my main mission, my goal, is to help parents who are like me, parents who are struggling and grieving the lack of communication and the lack of active memory making with their children who they love so dearly. Devoted parents who would give anything to spend 5 minutes in a room with their kid just to feel connected, a part of, and considered by their children. Those are the parents that I want to connect with. Parents that feel like they are stuck and can't get over their own negative thinking because of the loss they're experiencing with their kids, but they desperately want to create something bigger with their lives. Those are the parents that I want to help. So anybody else can just scroll on by. My desire to show other parents how to rewrite their past in their mind, rewrite their own narrative of themselves, their lives, and upgrade their story about what is possible for them is so much greater than saving some face. You may not know exactly what your mission is right now, today, in this moment. You guys have heard my whole spiel about knowing what you want, not knowing what you want, and the constant debate that I had put myself through, or that I was in, about what my calling was, what I wanted to be when I grew up following alienation, when I couldn't call myself an active mom anymore. You guys are probably sick of hearing me talk about that. So I'm not going to go into that. But back when I didn't know, the first thing that had to happen is that I made a decision to go all in on me, to go all in on finding out. And in order to find out, I couldn't sit and think about it and contemplate in my head constantly. I was like, all right, I'm going to try something. And so I went back to school and I did one thing, and then I did another thing, and led to where I'm sitting today. But it couldn't happen living up in my brain. I had to just trust that I would eventually get somewhere, and it was definitely going to be different than where I was sitting at the time. And that spot, the perspective I had from the place of misery, was not good. Anywhere would have been better. So if you're stuck in that place where you're like, I just don't know what I want to do, I don't know what my purpose is, where to even begin, just take a step. Just try one thing. And that one thing will lead to another thing, so long as you keep moving. I remember back whenever, right before 2020 happened, and that was back when I was doing audible book after audible book. Where I lived, you guys know, I lived in the house in the hill. It was like a 40-minute, 45-minute at least trip to go in to go to the grocery store. And so I had to do something in the car, and it was audible is what it was. And so somehow I stumbled upon a book by Mel Robbins, who she helped me out in such a time of need, because I wasn't doing anything. I was in a lot of passive action, meaning I was doing a lot of consuming. I was listening to audible books. I was reading stuff. I was trying to figure out cerebrally what my next move was going to be. I didn't have the money to in my brain, the way that I thought back then is, I can't even afford to breathe. So how am I going to go try things out? How am I going to do that? I don't have the money to try anything. But Mel Robbins, it may have been her 5-4-3-2-1 book, that one, or it might have been another one of hers, but she was like, just try something. Just do anything. Something is better than nothing. She really actually helped me back in that time. I don't give her as much credit because I don't follow her as closely in today's world. But she very well could have saved my life. She taught me a very simple way of how to get myself moving when I didn't want to move anymore. Yeah, it was the blast off thing. 5-4-3-2-1 blast off. So anyway, get yourself moving. Do something. If you're in the place where you don't know and you're stuck in that place of confusion and like you're just thinking about options, but you haven't yet done anything. So then you're just tire yourself out by thinking of all the pros and cons of each thing. And you're telling yourself that you're being mindful and thoughtful and wanting to do it right this time, or whatever it is that you're telling yourself. If you've been stuck in inaction for any period of time longer than a couple days, start trying things. You can find the free things to try, but start doing more than you are consuming. I mean, listen to my podcast still, but then go do. I'm kidding, mostly. But yeah, get yourself moving. Just try one thing. And then if that doesn't work, that's okay. It's not the end all be all. You go to the next thing and you go to the next thing. My try was very expensive. The first thing I went and tried to do, and it was not the answer. I mean, it kind of was. It led me down the right path, but it was a $5,000 oopsie and went to the wrong coaching school. Not the wrong coaching school, but just not the one that I would have picked in the end. But I never would have known that if I didn't go make that mistake. You don't have to go make a $5,000 mistake. I'm just saying that I think we look at mistakes wrong these days. We think that the stakes are so high and we only have a certain amount of money to go invest in ourselves. But this is where I think it's so important to go all in on yourself and trust that whatever decision you make, even if it's not the right one, that because you made that choice, you will make something happen just after that that will enable the next decision, right? The next mistake. But just you have to trust in your ability to cultivate and create whatever it is you need without knowing, without the lights on. Okay. I wouldn't say go throw caution to the wind and always do that and just go spend all your money and then go to the next thing. Please don't misunderstand me. That's not what I'm trying to say here for sure. Always, I think, being strategic about how we not only spend our money, but our time. I think that's very important. But if you're in that stuck place and you're not sure what to do, you've got to try something. And so don't worry so much about what could go wrong, but instead look for the way things could go right, the way that you're going to make them right. And then you can turn that into a learning experience if you decide that you need to try something else and try something else. And this goes into actually with you guys, with my mission, with this business that I am running. You guys have heard me talk about that whole outer body experience, the whole spiritual experience where I was running up on the hill, that miraculous 10 miles, and I envisioned what my website would look like and blah, blah, blah. I had that vision and I knew that I wanted to help other parents like me because I didn't want us all to feel the extreme isolation that we felt before, right? But I didn't know how I was going to get there. I didn't, up until right before I started this podcast a year and a half ago, I had no idea. I never thought I would have done this, right? Ever in a million years. And I love it now. Like, I don't know who I would be without it, kind of thing. Like, oh yeah, of course I do that. I couldn't imagine life without it. But before I set out to do any of this work, I didn't know the how. When we're going into new experiences, there's no way that we can guarantee how things are going to turn out. And there's no way that you would know every single step that happens along the way. A, B, and C are going to get you success and the other ones are not. No, you can't know. You have to make the mistakes in order to get to the end result, right? For y'all, like, I don't know how I'm ultimately going to be helping you guys. I know that I will help you guys. That is my mission, right? Is to help other parents like me and you to not feel so alone and to heal and move past the trauma that they experience coming from something like alienation. That is my mission. How I help you guys could change up quite frequently. Who knows? Right now, I'm in another hole shedding a layer and then reorganizing and figuring out another way to help you guys. And I'm going to keep trying and I will fail and then something will work and then something will work and oh, that didn't work. Let's go back a step. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, there is no guaranteed path. It's all trial and error. But I'm not going to let the fails or the things that don't work, the bad programs I've written, I have done. I can't even tell you how many absolutely horrible live events that I've done. So many, like epically terrible live events that I've held because of my own nerves and because I was judging myself during them and all the things, right? But that's okay. I needed to have those bad live events happen. epically bad live events happen in order to get to the me today. Those things were all part of the plan. I'm not going to let one fail or 900 fails deter me from my ultimate mission, which is to help parents like you and me. I'm comparing it to my business right now, but you can use this for anything that you're doing in life. It does not have to be, you don't have to be working on your business at all. You can apply this to, this is where I wanted to get to, is what your passion is, what your purpose is in life. When we, as parents like you and I, come to the realization that we are not needed, I'm using that term loosely because we are always needed by our children, but we have been rejected. And it's completely understandable that we would be like, oh, fuck, now what? Now what? The loves of our lives are not in our everyday lives anymore. Where are we needed? How are we going to feel purposeful? How are we going to feel valued? All of those questions that I guarantee, if you're listening to this podcast, that we all have on sometimes a very regular basis, right? This is the difference between today, Shelby, and even 2 years ago, Shelby, is that today I have that answer. I know that I want to serve you guys, but I don't always know how I'm going to serve you guys. I just know that I will. I will do that, right? And I am committed to that mission of mine. I've had the Healing and Reinvention program for over a year now. If I'm being completely honest, it is not soared like I wanted it to. And I thought that this would be the way, but it's not the way. And that's okay. I'm not going to pick up my toys and go home. It just means that I'm not providing value in the way that y'all value it. So I will go and I will figure out a way to provide value that y'all value. I will just keep trying, and that's okay. My desire, my mission to provide the help to you guys is there, and it will remain. I am committed to that. And so that just means I need to try different ways. It doesn't need to make me butthurt that this way didn't work. I don't feel like ultimately I've failed and this mission sucks. I also don't feel like what I have to say isn't valuable. I don't feel that like bad at all. Like, I know that how I can help people is very valuable. Stand behind that 1,000,000%. And so I just have to figure out how. And all these little fails up until the time that I find one way, and then the next way, and then the next way, I have to look at these as learning experiences until I find the thing that resonates with y'all. I guess basically what I'm saying is, just because things aren't working and you tried one way and the door shut on you and you try a different way and maybe something else shut, it doesn't mean that it's the wrong mission. If you've had something that you've wanted to do for a while now and it hasn't worked out, maybe you haven't gotten creative enough yet. Maybe you aren't committed to it enough. And that's okay too. You decide. Come up with what your now mission is. And it's okay if you decide to amend that mission as you learn more, as more information comes in with each trial error. You'll know when you find the one that you want to go all in on and commit for the long haul. But until then, just trial and error. Go all in on yourself because you're worth it. You are 100% worth it. See what you can create for yourself. The last thing that I wanted to say about this, waiting for passion, waiting for motivation, both of those things I think are sometimes misunderstood in my mind anyway, about how they come to us. I think how often, and I still to this day find myself doing this, but I'll wait for the motivation to come. In my mind, I'm like, I'm just waiting for the motivation to do that thing. I'm just trying to get myself motivated. Just trying to get myself motivated to get up, walk over there and get my cup of coffee. I'm trying to get the motivation to write this chapter. But motivation almost always doesn't come before you do the thing. Motivation comes as a result of doing the thing and getting, building up some momentum. Okay? It doesn't happen until your creative juices start flowing, you start breaking a sweat if you're doing something physical, then motivation comes. It's usually because your brain juices have gotten flowing because of an idea or something somebody said, and then you have motivation. You don't have to wait to drum up motivation in order to go do the thing. motivation follows. It's like the caboose. Also, the same thing with passions. We think that we need to have passion to be fulfilling our purpose, to be producing anything worth meaning, whatever. I think it's overrated, but I also think that passion doesn't come when you're clunky and new at something. So if you are trying something new out there, you're not going to have passion most of the time. Think about the things that you're passionate about. Not like when you're talking about being passionate and angry in a relationship. The things that you really truly like. With me, I am very passionate about all things mental health following trauma, post-traumatic growth, right? That. But that didn't happen overnight. I didn't just have passion. First, what I had was curiosity. Desperation first, then curiosity. Then I needed to learn stuff, right? At the time, maybe I was passionate about getting myself out of the position I was in. I would still call that desperation. Passion came once I started getting good at doing what I was doing. And that I am still leagues away from where I want to be. But that's not really my point right now. My point is that passion doesn't come in the beginning. So just remember that you don't need to have passion in order to put something out there in the world or make meaning for your life. Okay, whatever that is. And again, it does not have to be. I'm using the way that I serve you guys and my trial error with that for the example, but this could be about anything that's going on in your life. So just go all in on you. And then once, if you do know your mission, then you go all in on that mission. Just like I'm going all in on my mission and on you. If you're trying things out and you've got that fear of judgment, the fear of people laughing or saying, oh, what were they thinking? Who do they think they are trying to do that? I get you. I was there. And that's the difference between 2 years ago and today, reading the letter that my ex wrote to me, or to the supervisor. The difference between that Shelby and today Shelby is that it's okay if other people don't value me. It's okay that he doesn't value me. I know that already, right? It's even okay that currently my daughter doesn't value me. It's okay. And maybe she does. I don't know. But it's okay because I value me. And I know that what I have to offer is valuable. It is infinitely valuable, right? But only to the people that find it valuable, my people. And same with you. So when I got over myself, and I don't mean that rudely, but when I got over myself and stopped worrying about all trying to please and appeal to all the people, and I still have a lot of work to do on this, even when it comes to wanting to appeal to my own darling daughter, it's okay. I know that me trying to mold myself to fit some version of me that's not me, that's somebody else wants of me, isn't going to turn out well. Me trying to please everybody is not going to work. It's only going to cause me to burn out and stay in a cyclone of inaction, sitting smack in the middle of that, doing nothing, thinking about all the things I'm not. And how can I be the person that they like, or they like, or they like, or they like? It doesn't work. The bottom line of all of this is when you accept you, then the rest of the stuff falls in place. But honestly, if somebody would have given me that answer back, you know, a few years ago, I would have been like, okay, there's nothing actionable about saying you need to learn how to accept yourself. What it is the action of getting up and trying things. It's trying one thing and then trying another and then trying another and learning to redefine who you are by what you want, not because somebody else wants it from you or for you, but because it's what you want. Like redate yourself again, right? Recourt yourself and then commit to going all in on yourself, no matter how messy it might be in the process. That's the beautiful stuff, you guys. The messiness, the failing, the falling and getting up. And somebody made a reference the other day about, it's such a like an obvious like duh reference, but it made so much sense. Maybe it was Brooke. She was talking about like a baby. They have to fall and get up. And you hear this comparison. I'm sure I've heard it a million times in my life, but this last time I heard it really resonated. And maybe it was the way that she explained it. But she's like, you know, a baby, in order to walk, They have to go through a process of falling and getting up over and over again. When they started walking, they didn't have the strength to actually take one step and then the other in consecutive steps. They fall and then they have to pull themselves up, and then they have to fall and then they have to pull themselves up to build the endurance. The falling and getting up caused the core muscles to engage in the way that they are needed in order to walk, in order to run. That is all part of it. If we were all able to just get up and run like zebras, you know, with everything, every task that we wanted to excel at in our lives, we would all be in much different places, and I would not be talking to you through this podcast right now. There would be no variety or any challenge or, of course, then reward in our lives. If everything came easy, there would be no lessons. There would be nothing. We would all be boring. We would all be excellent at everything and incredibly bored. Anyway, the falls and the getting up and learning from the last fall and then trying again, and then the steps and then the falling and getting up, it's all part of it. They're not setbacks. Anytime you run into a wall and you're like, it must just mean that I'm not supposed to do this for this can't be the mission. No, stay on your path. Stay on the path. Keep trying different ways. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to do it. I hear what's coming to me right now is like, if you ever listen to Abraham Hicks, she talks about taking the path of least resistance. And I'm not refuting that. Is that the right word? I'm not arguing with that. But I also think that there's a difference between being in resistance to reality and bettering yourself in order to create your life ahead. You cannot create something new for yourself. I don't care what we're talking about here. You cannot learn something new and not have resistance, or else it wouldn't be learning. You know what I'm saying? So the path of least resistance, I get it, but it's separate from what we're talking about today. I think that everything needs to be considered together in order to come up with your own philosophy for how you want to live. The resistance has to be there in order to get to new heights. Learn from the mistakes. Doesn't mean just because you've made mistakes and just because you've fallen, just because you've hit a wall, a dead end, so you think, doesn't mean that you're supposed to quit now. It just means you have to get creative. It just means that you have to look at your thinking and decide how it is that you are going to make this happen if this is what you're committed to. Okay? All right. Now I think I've beat a dead horse. I'm going to go. Just because if you're in the situation where I'm in, which probably all of you are, but where your kids have told you they don't want to have any contact with you right now or whatever they've said to you, and you're questioning what it is your purpose is in life, they're not the only ones. I know. I mean, I love my daughter like with every part of my being, right? But their opinion is not why we're here on this world. We have to create value that we value before anybody else will ever even consider valuing it. Nothing is forever. Nothing is forever. And your kids, if you are in the place where if you're feeling down, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling like your life is lacking meaning, I get it. But you create the meaning. It's not meaningful. Your life isn't meaningful because somebody else says it is. It's meaningful because of the story that you have about your life. And if you don't like the current story, then go out there and change it. Start trying shit, okay? Go all in on you. All right, you guys, have a lovely week.
Thanks so much for listening today, guys. I'm honored that you chose to share your time with me. If you like what you've been hearing and you want more, come join me in the new monthly membership, where we take the concepts that you hear about here and, using a logical framework, you learn to apply them to your specific situations, upgrading your thoughts and your life, even while experiencing the grief of alienation. For more information, go to beyondthehighroad.com. See you soon.